A reading from the Book of Wisdom. When peaceful stillness compassed everything, and the night in its swift course was half spent, your all-powerful word from heaven's royal throne bounded a fierce warrior into the doomed land, bearing the sharp sword of your inexorable decree. And as he alighted, he filled every place with death. He still reached to the heaven while he stood upon the earth. For all creation in its several kinds was being made over anew, serving in its natural laws, that your children might be preserved and unharmed. The cloud overshadowed their camp, and out of what had been water before, dry land was seen emerging. Out of the Red Sea, an unimpeded road, and a grassy plain out of the mighty flood. Over this crossed the whole nation, sheltered by your hand. After they beheld stupendous wonders, for they ranged about like horses and bounded about like lambs, praising you, O Lord, their deliverer. The word of the Lord. Remember the marvels the Lord has done. Sing to him, sing his praise, proclaim all his wondrous deeds, glory in his holy name. Rejoice, O hearts that seek the Lord. Then he struck every firstborn throughout their land, the first fruits of all their manhood. And he led them forth laden with silver and gold, and not with a weakling among their tribes. For he remembered his holy word to his servant Abraham, and he led forth his people with joy, with shouts of joy, his chosen ones.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi Domine.
Jesus told his disciples a parable about the necessity for them to pray always without becoming weary. He said, "There was a judge in a certain town who neither feared God nor respected any human being. And a widow in that town used to come to him and say, 'Render a just decision for me against my adversary.' For a long time, the judge was unwilling, but eventually he thought, 'While it is true that I neither fear God nor respect any human being, because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall deliver a just decision for her, lest she finally come and strike me.' the Lord said, "Pay attention to what the dishonest judge says. Will not God then secure the rights of his chosen ones who call out to him day and night? Will he be slow to answer them? I tell you, he will see to it that justice is done for them speedily. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?"
Verbum Domini.
For many centuries, the Church has observed Saturdays as a special day dedicated to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And according to the servant of God, Father John Hardin, Saints Bernard, Thomas, Aquinas, and Bonaventure explained the dedication of Saturdays to Mary by pointing to the time of Christ's rest in the grave. Everyone else had abandoned Christ, only Mary continued to believe. This was her day. And we know that our Lord Jesus Christ underwent his suffering and death on Good Friday, something that he had predicted multiple times to his disciples, along with his resurrection prior to his death. And yet, despite his predictions, the disciples were dumbfounded by the death of their master as their faith was shaken. Even after beholding the resurrected Jesus with their own eyes, the disciples still find it hard to believe. However, with the Blessed Mother, we know that there was never even a shred of doubt in her mind that her divine Son would once again be raised from the dead. And the Saturday memorial of the Blessed Virgin Mary is a perpetual reminder to the Church that there is one disciple of Christ who has always believed the Word of God wholeheartedly and never doubted for an instant, despite any difficulties, struggles, or challenges she may have encountered. In the gospel reading today, Jesus tells his disciples a parable about a widow in a certain town who used to go to a dishonest judge and demand for him to render a just decision for her against her adversary. And Jesus describes this judge as someone who neither feared God nor respected any human being. In other words, this judge was immoral and corrupt, likely rendering decisions that would ultimately benefit him without any concern for the people whose cases he handled, including the poor. And yet it is the persistence of this widow that has a softening effect on the unjust judge. In the words of the judge, he says, "While it is true that I neither fear God nor respect any human being, because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall deliver a just decision for her, lest she finally come and strike me." And there are several things about this statement from the judge that are surprising. First, the judge himself admits that he neither fears God nor respects any human being. Ordinarily, those who do evil prefer to do so covertly and discreetly. And this judge has become so brazen in his corruption that he openly acknowledges it. And second, despite his overt corruption, the judge announces his intention to issue a just decision in the case of this widow. Ordinarily, he has no respect for any human being. And yet, in the case of the widow, he shows her respect, albeit for selfish motives. And finally, the judge admits that he fears the widow will come and strike him. In the original Greek, from which this is translated, is even more descriptive. The judge could literally be saying that the widow will come, strike him, and give him a black eye. This could either suggest that the judge is afraid that the widow might literally come and sock him in the face, or that the widow has some incriminating evidence against him that she intends to use to reveal his or to ruin his reputation. And from here, we can conclude that the judge is not issuing a just decision for the widow because he has suddenly experienced a deep conversion of heart, but is rather moved by selfish motives. He fears being truly, fully exposed as being corrupt, as the corrupt, dishonest judge that he truly is. Jesus then follows up this parable with the primary lesson that he is conveying to his disciples. He says to his disciples, pay attention to what the dishonest judge says. Will not God then secure the rights of his chosen ones who call out to him day and night? Will he be slow to answer them? I tell you, he will see to it that justice is done for them speedily. In other words, even an unjust judge will issue just judgments when they are compelled to do so under fear of reprisal. And if this is true in the case of a judge who is unjust, corrupt, and dishonest, how much more will God, who is entirely just and righteous, answer the prayers of those who turn to him in their need? If we go to fallible, sinful human beings to render justice for us, how much more should we confidently turn to the Lord God to render justice for the poor and the needy? And Jesus then concludes his discourse today with a rhetorical question. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? And this question is a challenge that is directed not only to the disciples who are listening to him speak, but echoes throughout the ages in the ears of all who call themselves disciples of Christ. When times are easy and things are going well, having faith in the word of Jesus is not so difficult. However, when things seem to be falling apart around us and we experience darkness and spiritual dryness, will we maintain the same faith in Jesus as we did in easy times? It is precisely in times of difficulty, trial, temptation, struggle, and persecution that faith is even more necessary. It is faith that empowers us to persevere through the darkest, most troubling of times, because it involves adhering to a fundamental truth that is unaffected by the shifting sands of this fallen world. It is only faith that allows us to maintain our spiritual sight amid the darkness. And it is for this reason that the church's observance of Saturdays in honor of the Blessed Virgin Mary is so important. There are numerous moments throughout the life of the Blessed Mother when she encountered troubling, confusing circumstances, and yet she demonstrated an unshakable, unwavering faith. When she heard the Archangel Gabriel announce that she would become the mother of the Word incarnate, she immediately believed the word of the angel, and yet was uncertain as to how this would take place, since she did not know man. And despite this uncertainty, she continued to believe. She knew that the Lord would bring this about. She didn't understand how, but she knew it would happen. And when Joseph was told in a dream to take Mary, his wife, and Jesus, and flee into Egypt as refugees, Mary would most likely have had concerns about where they would find food, shelter, and other things along the way. And yet she continued to trust in the Lord and have faith in the fulfillment of his word. Likewise, when she witnessed her son lay down his life on the cross, she experienced all the pain, sorrow, and confusion that a mother would experience upon seeing one's own child suffer and die. And yet she never doubted that her son's word would be fulfilled and that he would rise again from the dead. And this fundamental truth concerning Mary's unshakable faith is affirmed by the Second Vatican Council in the document Lumen Gentium. Paragraph 63 of this document says, by reason of the gift and role of divine maternity, by which she is united with her Son, the Redeemer, and with his singular graces and functions, the Blessed Virgin is also intimately united with the Church. As St. Ambrose taught, the Mother of God is a type of the Church in the order of faith, hope, charity, and perfect union with Christ. For in the mystery of the church, which is itself rightly called Mother and Virgin, the Blessed Virgin stands out in eminent and singular fashion as exemplar both of Virgin and Mother. By her belief and obedience, not knowing man, but overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, as the new Eve, she brought forth on earth the very Son of the Father, showing an undefiled faith, not in the word of the ancient serpent, but in that of God's messenger. The Son whom she brought forth is he whom God placed as the firstborn among many brethren, namely the faithful, in whose birth and education she cooperates with the maternal love. As the faith of the Blessed Mother remains firm and unshaken, the Church naturally entrusts herself to Mary's intercession as she acts as a mediatrix to her divine Son. In the same Vatican II document, the Church is careful to explain that the intercession and mediation of Mary in no way detracts from the unique mediation of Jesus Christ. Our Lord is the one unique mediator between God and man, whereas Mary participates in the mediation of Jesus by her unwavering faith and her prayers on our behalf. And even as the members of the Church on earth struggle to pray and their faith is tested in times of trial, the prayers of the Blessed Mother remain constant because of her faith. We rely on her gracious intercession with confidence in the efficacy of her prayers. Her example of faith instills greater confidence in those of us who struggle with faith amid the darkness of this world. United to the prayers of the Virgin Mary, knowing that she always believed that the word of the Lord would be fulfilled, we find the light that is needed to persevere through the trials and sufferings of this life until we finally reach our heavenly homeland.